morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us, everybody. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. We have got some good stuff, other good stuff coming up for you a little bit later. Are you older than you think? People are realizing they have been calculating their birthdays wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that doesn't seem
it's
good.
It's that zero number.
M&M's is up to something. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Women are naming the weirdest places guys have taken them on a date. So we have to talk about it. We have to. We kind of have to.
I have one to add to that, too.
Yeah, I was hoping so. I was really hoping so. Looking forward to that a little bit later. Also, the off-air conversation. I'm looking forward to that, too. There's always that story, and then there's the off-air story, and I love that. That's always fun. Get into those a little bit later. Also, of course, we're going to get into some other fun stuff. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get into some good stories, then a right stories, see what other fun we can have. I've got a fun one I want to get into about life hacks if we have time today. So got that. We, of course, have Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway we want to talk about.
It's getting so close.
It is so dang close. So excited about this. All those things coming up. Want to get into our schedule in a minute here. But before we do that, Melissa, how is your day kicking off?
Oh, it's kicking off pretty good.
Good, good.
Just a typical morning. I've got bone broth that was cooking in a crock pot overnight. So this morning I added my vegetables to it that I've been saving in the freezer. You know, it's surprisingly short amount of time how long it took me to collect an entire gallon-sized bag of scraps.
Does it make you, it makes you think though, doesn't it? One way or another, it makes you think.
It does. It's like, man, I've been throwing this stuff away for so long. This is good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of shocking how much we do that as a nation. Not individually, it's, you know, here or there, but I think as a nation, really as a world, how we do that.
Right.
Anytime you can make uses of those things, it feels good. Do you get a feeling too? I got this with my Nana back in the day when she would do stuff with scraps, especially with meat. You feel a little like the ancestors. I don't mean like mine, yours. I just mean like ancestors.
Using everything you can.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about doing that. Anytime, in any way you're doing it, it just feels good.
It feels rewarding. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like I'm being as, you know, throwing away as little as possible, getting every bit of use out of it.
Added bonus, tastes good.
Exactly.
It's good stuff too. Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm going to be making soup this week and some sourdough bread. Actually, for tonight, I have a plan for these pulled, because obviously, you know, I have chicken from yesterday, which is why I was making the broth. But I'm going to make pulled chicken sliders.
Ooh.
With grilled mushrooms and onions and a homemade honey mustard sauce.
Cool, cool. So what time you want me by? But that sounds really good. That sounds very good. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I thought so.
You know, speaking of the leftovers and everything, we all know that one of the best leftovers is pizza. Some people prefer pizza as a leftover more than they have it fresh.
When it's fresh. Yeah, cold pizza is a big deal.
We should have learned right away that leftovers are great and scraps are good to make use of and everything. That's cool to hear. Let us know how that turns out, Melissa.
I will. Are you having a good morning?
Yeah, so far so good. Let me knock on some wood here. Especially winter is one thing. I think once you build a tolerance to the cold and everything, days like this where there's nothing really outliers of weather or anything, just kind of, you know, getting from one shack to the next. That's all you're doing.
It's another day.
Yes, you're just going from one cold, you know, one warm building to another warm building. That is all we do, really, at this time. We're just hermit crabs moving from one to the next. So, yeah, not so bad. Looking at our schedule ahead, when Melissa and I get done hanging out with you this morning, we will kick off Morning Magazine for the week. And right away to kick things off, Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, Katie Wright going to be in with us. Love hanging out with Katie.
Awesome.
And Ray Blossfield is going to join us from their leadership class.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about events coming up with the Chamber, and of course we'll get into the community leadership program they have and some of those other things that the Chamber offers. We're looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Part two, we catch up with the Family Center. Any chance we can do there, looking forward to that. And just going to take a look at our schedule real quick here, the rest of the week. So Melissa and I are with you today. Tomorrow, it's the James Gang getting together. Melissa and Seth will be hanging out. On Thursday, it'll be Seth and I. And then on Friday, we get the band back together. Terry Johns will be with us. We will also be joined by Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Mystique McAmar. She is going to the director and one of the actors, a part of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? She's going to call us up or maybe stop by. I'm not sure. I told Mystique, because it's show day, that you know opening night is for them that night. If she wants to just call in, that's fine. But I just thought it'd be fun to get in a last-second update from them and hear how the show has come together and you know how excited they are to hit the stage that night.
For sure, because that's just one weekend. It's just Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, we want to promote that stuff as much as we can. So looking forward to that. That is going to be a lot of fun. Of course, in the For Money Magazine, our lineup that week, this week, Wednesday, tomorrow, Jeremy Solon, UW Extension Area Director, is going to be in with us, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Good to talk with Jeremy. He's new in that position, I believe. So anytime we can talk to somebody new and introduce them to the audience, it's fun.
See how he's settling into his new job.
Some of our other favorite people, the ODC, will join us in part two. Ann Lepak will be with us.
Awesome.
Speaking of good people, on Thursday, we're going to be joined by Family Natural Foods.
Hey.
I am sure that we will find out what's going on at the store, have some fun stuff to do, and Katrina will make me try something that I will cringe at first, but I'll probably end up liking it.
And then like it.
Yes. In part two on Thursday, we catch up with Laura Huber, and we talk 4-H.
Good. Yeah. Oh, 4-H is awesome.
Yeah. I've enjoyed so much getting to know Laura and learning more and more about 4-H. I really did not know much, if anything, about it growing up. And honestly, look back and kind of, it's one of those things. There's not many things I look back and wish I could have done. That is one of them. I definitely would have been a part of 4-H if I'd grown up out here and everything. I definitely would have done it. I don't know if I'd have been any good at it. I think people would have made fun of me quite a bit. But I'd try.
There's a wide variety of things you could have done in 4-H. And same for me. I would have liked to have done it too.
You would have been really good at it, I bet. You'd have been natural at it. And Friday, we wrap up Morning Magazine with Linda Bros from the ADRC joining us. And then in part two, with Public Schools Superintendent Craig Broren, along with Jennifer Wilhorn, 4K Administrator. So we get to talk a little, not just about our ADRC with Linda, but then we get to wrap up the week talking about our kids, schools, all that. This is going to be good.
Good. 4-H is, or 4K is so important for our kids.
Yeah. And it'll be really nice to be able to talk with Jennifer about that. Always good to talk with Craig. Always a good conversation there. Do want to remind people a little bit about some of our other stuff that we have going on. Like, of course, later today, Governor Tony Evers' State of the State Address will be at 7. Yes. Along with that, we will have an extended Devil's Advocate program at 6 to preview it. So looking forward to that. Of course, we have on. We also have our sports schedule today at 7:10 on our sister station WIRI. Assumption Boys Basketball hosting Newman.
All right.
Randy Paul on the call, y'all. Don going to run the board. You put those two together, you know it is going to sound good. On Wednesday, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Maryland. Surprisingly, that's a Big Ten matchup now. I'm still not used to that.
Okay.
Maryland's in the Big Ten now, and it's just weird because they've never really been in the Big Ten. So.
Okay.
Thursday, Marquette Hour, basketball coaches show on WIRI at 6 o'clock. Coach Shaka Smart joins our airwaves every week. And then at 6:55, right after that, Nakusa Boys Basketball hosting Adams Friendship. Randy and Don on the call for that one.
Ooh, hey, hey.
On Friday, it is a puck night on both stations. WFHR at 6 o'clock, the puck will drop for Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Notre Dame.
Do you have feels about that, James?
Oh, it's the only team I dislike. It's the only team that I can truly say I truly hate. Yes, on Wisconsin that day.
Okay.
And then on WIRI at 7 o'clock, actually at 6:59, we got River Kings hockey.
Hey!
Yes, the River Kings are on our airwaves all weekend long. We've got on Friday and Saturday. So puck will drop on both nights same time. On Friday, it'll be at about 6:59. They're taking on the Asante Outlaws. And then on Saturday, same time, hosting the Asante Outlaws. And that Saturday game, I am planning on being at.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I made plans. I promised, actually, my godson, Cole, along with my best friend, I guess, Chris, but mostly Cole, my godson, that we would go to one of those games coming up here. And this is the one that they picked. Kind of want to see the Outlaws, to be honest. I mean, we want to see a River Kings, obviously, first and foremost.
Well, of course.
But if you're going to pick a away team to see, this is one of the ones that Cole wanted to see. So this is where we're going.
Okay. Well, that should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Looking forward to it. Of course, got good Badger hockey on, and Marquette basketball on the radio this weekend as well. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the week. And later in the week, on Thursday, we are joined by our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
We've really been enjoying this. Big shout out to Bow Wow Meow Boutique, E-Whale Sales and Services, who have already joined us as sponsors. And we are looking forward to having Cotton Thimble be with us this week.
Oh, good.
Cotton Thimble quilting classes, large variety of fabrics and knowledge. Carol is the owner. Go stop by, say hi from all of us here at WFHR.
And
we're looking forward to having more of you guys join us for this. We love this segment. We want to keep doing it. We can keep doing it if we keep having sponsors.
Mm-hmm. And then the weather looks good. You'll probably get to have the furry friend in studio.
Yeah, it does look like that. I'm so excited about that. Yeah. But we do encourage you, of course, to give our amazing, awesome, original sales staff a call, 424-1300. Pam will put you in touch with Steph or Ashley and make you part of the team here.
Absolutely.
We always encourage you to check out things over at the Southwood County Humane Society. They're always looking for an extra hand if you can maybe help out with that. Or if you maybe want to drop off some food. It is cat season, as Madison has let us know, and they are always looking for cat food or wet cat food especially.
The kittens are coming.
Yeah. If you're able to help out with that, you can email them swchs@swchs.com. That's swchs.com. And you can give them a call as well at 423-0505, 423-0505. You can also go to their website, swchs.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. So a lot of great animals out there that are just looking for you, a new friend, and you might be it.
And there's nothing better coming across your news feed than cute pictures of puppies and kitties and dogs and cats.
Yeah. It's not easy, too. We talk about, and we have these great animals come in, but I've worked at about four, maybe five different shelters, Melissa, and I know that you've been around animals before, too, and the audience has as well. And we love animals. We talk a good game about animals around here. However, there are some knucklehead animals out there. They're just like there are human beings. There are knucklehead animals out there. And our first story of the day in this opening monologue takes us to New York, where a New York animal shelter seeks home for fire-breathing demon.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. An animal shelter in New York is seeking a home for a dog described as a terror, a fire-breathing demon, and a whole jerk. The Niagara SPCA said 26-pound Ralphie has been adopted twice but was returned twice due to his bad behavior. Quote, at first glance, he's an adorable, highly sought-after young dog. People should be banging down on our doors for him. We promise you that won't be the case. Ralphie is a terror in somewhat small package, the shelter says on their Facebook post.
Well, at least they're straightforward with it.
I'll get into this in a second, yes. The shelter said Ralphie's most recent owners took him home with the intention of training him. 2 weeks into their new home, quote, and he was surrendered to us because he annoys their older dog.
Oh.
He's very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he's a whole jerk, not even half. Everything belongs to him. If you dare test his ability to possess the things, wrath will ensue. The SPCA said protective owners who think they can handle training Ralphie should get in touch if they're crazy. So one of the tougher, one of the things I love touching on whenever we have a chance is really giving a shout out and credit to all these police departments and the amazing job they do on social media. Mm-hmm. I think in that top five is shelters.
Shelters, yeah.
I think that also schools do a pretty good job as well, teachers and that. But you know, just focusing on shelters right now, it's one of the more heartbreaking things when you look in a shelter, when you walk in at like 6 in the morning and you see like 3 black cats and a couple of dogs that you've seen every day that you've walked into that shelter. It's heartbreaking. And there's no getting around it. And animals read your expressions. They read your faces. Mm-hmm. They read you better than you can read another human being. And they pick up on these things. So you try to have a good attitude and a good mood. And part of that is kind of, you know, oftentimes doing what we do. And a lot of times in society and in life, when we are faced with, you know, negativity or just downright struggle and frustration, we try to fight it with humor or comedy or sarcasm or something. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ways that we know how to handle these things and deal with these things. I know it's a personal go-to for me.
Right. Got to put that silver lining on it somehow.
Yes, yes. And if you've tried everything to get Ralphie adopted to a good home and you know he's a good dog, you know there's a good fit somewhere out there, you're going to try different methods. You're going to try different ways of, and there are people out there who will come in for the knucklehead, for the tough case.
Well, they're putting out a challenge and they're making it, you know, they're blatantly stating, this dog is going to challenge you. And if you're up for the challenge, come try him out.
I'd forgotten about this until last week when we were talking. I think it was you and I were talking about black cats. And there was one of the shelters I worked at in DeKalb. There was a big, this cat looked like it was 70, 80 pounds. Like, this is a big cat, but it was young and it was healthy. It just was stocky, you know?
Okay.
And pitch black. No white anywhere in this cat. Mm-hmm. And usually if there's a couple of spots of white, you can hope that it'll get adopted. This one had been there for about, I want to say, at least a year and not been adopted. So we get the idea to put it out there and just put it on a Facebook page and everything. And it wasn't anything too special, the details of the cat. And we said something about, and she has pretty eyes. You know, her eyes didn't look any different than another cat's, but it was just something to put in there.
Right.
Later that day, before I'm wrapping up my shift, this couple comes in, and they were emo. I mean, big time emo, like all in emo. It's it had to have been at least one of those warmer days in DeKalb, and this couple comes in trench coats and everything. So I mean, they are full on
dedicated.
Yeah. Couldn't have been cooler. And immediately just wanted to see that cat. Spent about 10-15 minutes with her, brought her home.
Nice.
You find the right fit. And sometimes it takes a little creative marketing.
Well, like the things they've been doing with dressing pets up with crowns or capes or different little outfits to you know, give them, make them eye-catching. It's pretty much what they've been doing with that. And it's worked.
If you live in the New York area and you are looking for a little demon.
Possibly not with other pets in your home.
Oh, but Ralphie, man, he's a cool-looking dog, I'll tell you that. He's a good-looking dog, definitely that. You can find this article, if you're curious, at upi.com. Shout-out to Ben Hooper with the great reporting, as always. Go to upi.com to find that complete article. And, of course, you want to help out our Southwood County Humane Society, we encourage you to do that. SWCHS.com or give them a call at 423-0505. And just be listening this Thursday right in the 9 o'clock hour for in the morning show. Madison will join us with our Pet of the Week.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Take a break here. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you today. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into our national day of calendar, Mel, for this January 24th, 2023. As we mentioned yesterday, it is snow sculpting week.
Oh, yeah.
Now until February 1st, get that sculpting in.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good snow out there for it.
It's also National Talk Like a Grizzled Prospector Day. Willowy!
hey, you reckon there we have found ourselves some bona fide golden nuggets right here in this old mound of old grit. Yes, sir, Mama gonna be mighty proud when we see discover we can afford fresh beans and biscuits. I can't do a prospector. I can't do it.
You know, I thought that was pretty good.
It started out all right, but okay. It started getting a little different there at the end there. I don't know. It started getting a little dicey at the end. Well, you get it at first. Well, hi-ho. Mm-hmm. I reckon we've been finding ourselves some bona fide gold nuggets. Nope. It gets a little southern towards the end there. It's a southern prospector.
Well, it takes all sorts.
I may be one of the only people that does, but I love these things. I love what they do. These, they're silly, they're ridiculous, they mean nothing, but they're fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are still places that you can prospect for gold.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is one of those things I would definitely do, but honestly, it would have very little to do with actually thinking I'd find like millions or gold or anything like that. I think it'd be fun to just do it. Very similar to what we were talking about before. I mean, sometimes it's so old techniques, things are just fun to do.
I just wanted to look quick because I think there are a couple places that you can go and do it in Wisconsin.
Oh, really? Oh, that I did not know.
Yeah, because I've seen it at, it was like at a park or where you can like sign up and take a gold panning little course.
We'll have to take a look into that. We got a break coming up here. Maybe we can look during the break there and see. And hi-ho, maybe we find some gold. That just doesn't work. Might be one I gotta work out there. I think National Beer Can Appreciation Day.
Beer cans have come a long ways.
Yeah, very true. This is a day basically for every freshman in college that has on their refrigerator just a bunch of beer cans and bottles they're hanging on to. They think it's pretty cool. You think it's cool when you first turn 21 and everything. Yeah. We all do it. A lot of us do. I did it.
Until your apartment starts smelling like stale beer.
What does that smell? What is that? Why are there fruit flies everywhere?
Why are we inundated with flying things?
We were going to find a way to drink. We were going to figure this out. And beer cans are one of the ways that we did. Mm-hmm. Beer has been one of the staples of health and diet for thousands of years. And there are those who say that access to beer is one of the reasons that the slaves of Egypt were able to build those huge pyramids. The ability to preserve calories and not rot cannot be underestimated. While back then, the beverage was held in clay vessels, the container of choice today is aluminum can. This tradition was first started in 1935, and on the heels of it came a never-ending parade of varieties of labeling.
And they've gotten so inventive with labels now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always a label shopper with wine because, I mean, wine bottles have always had labels, but the beer can and beer bottle labels have really just gotten awesome, too.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Of times I will buy a type of beer based on its label.
So beer, that helps a little bit, but I don't want to say I'm picky about beer. I'll drink any beer, really, if I'm in the mood. But if I'm looking for a certain beer, the label is kind of here and there. I'm more like that with wine. I don't taste a huge difference in wines. So if there's, one wine has a cooler label than the other, maybe I will go with it. That one I'll admit, yeah.
Well, and that's true when we're looking at the $6 to $10 range of wines. I would agree with you 100%.
Oh yeah, that's all I'm talking about. Yeah, that's right.
Well, yes, that's the kind of wine we buy.
Right. We work in radio. What do you expect?
Exactly.
We work in radio.
I was in the groceries. I was actually at Festival in Marshfield the other day, and I was looking at. I was label shopping in the wine department, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, that one's really cool. Well, yeah, it's also $82 a bottle.
See, man,
that's why it's cool.
That ain't right. That's a that ain't right story. It's not fair.
A lot of money for wine.
It's Global Belly Laugh Day. Belly Laugh Day.
Global.
Any chance you get one of those real hearty, deep laughs in. The discipline of science that studies laughter is called gelotology. Gelotology, I believe I'm saying that right. Gelotology. And points to me, man. Come on. That's a tough one. Gelotology.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to mess up.
I've never heard that word before.
I'll mess up Smith later, but that one I got. So gelotology is, while scientists can't be exactly sure about the history of laughter, laughter has presumably been around since the very first human beings were on Earth.
Seems likely.
Laughter can be a response to either external or internal stimuli. Hmm. A belly laugh is something beyond a mere giggle or chuckle, as it is considered to be loud, hearty laugh that is sometimes uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
There are some classic laughs out there with the that 90s show or whatever coming back. The lady that plays Peggy on that the mom on there. I love her laugh.
Okay.
Seth Rogen's laugh is classic. It's like Seth Rogen is basically a Fozzie Bear. Was a Canadian Jew who was, you know, real, that came to life. his laugh just encompasses it. It's so good. He's got such a great laugh. Ricky Gervais, another good laugh. Another good one.
I was at a bar, this is a while ago now, and there was a couple that came. It's our local bar here, and a couple came in that, you know, we didn't know. And all of a sudden, there was this loud sound. It sounded like a flock of seagulls.
Mm.
And we look over, and she's laughing. And of course, she noticed us all looking, and she's like, no, it's okay. And the guy's like, everything's fine. This is just how she sounds when I get her going. And she's like, yeah, my family takes bets on who can make me belly laugh first.
That's good.
She's like the comic relief at family gatherings, just for her laugh.
And when she laughs like a flock of seagulls, do you run?
It was startling.
Yeah, no. That was a really bad joke, Melissa, but you probably didn't even know the band Flock of Seagulls, and they had a hit called I Ran.
Oh.
It's a bad joke. Really bad joke.
I figured it was something like that, but yeah.
Well, no, even if you got the joke, I don't think you should have laughed. I think you should have taken a stand for the audience and been like, no, we're not going to stand for bad comedy, James. Bring your A game or get out of here. Hmm. National Peanut Butter Day.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Half my body weight is peanut butter, I believe, and I haven't really eaten much peanut butter in the last 5 or 10 years. I kind of burnt myself out of it, but I would still say that I'm not certain if my bones are not kept together by peanut butter and duct tape somehow.
Peanut butter, creamy or chunky?
Probably creamy.
Yeah.
My legs may be chunky.
Every once in a while, I get a craving for chunky, and I usually want it in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, same here. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I don't know. When I was younger, it was fun once in a while to change it up, and I thought my mom was just doing that. Sometimes she just grabbed the wrong one. That was all it was.
Oops.
Peanut butter is a culinary treat that actually most people think is a fairly modern invention, as food histories go. However, that may not be exactly the case. Peanut butter, as we know it today, has only been around for a little over 100 years. But actually, there is some evidence that ancient Aztecs and Inca people may have been grinding peanuts into a sort of paste several hundred years ago, or maybe even a few thousand years ago.
Nice.
As for the modern world is concerned, peanut butter arrived via the United States at some time in the late 1800s. Some theories claim that many foods, peanut butter probably, started in someone's kitchen in their home. Mm-hmm. One popular theory suggests that a woman named Rose Davis started making peanut butter in New York at some point in the 1840s. She got the idea from her son, who had learned about something similar that was being made in Cuba at the time.
Cool.
Many people credit George Washington Carver with the invention of producing peanut butter, but while he was an amazing inventor, credited with more than 300 uses for peanuts and is considered the father of the peanut industry, Carver did not actually invent peanut butter.
Okay.
The creation of modern peanut butter, along with its popular precision, can be traced back to at least three people. In fact, it was Canadian Marcellus Edison who patented peanut paste. He did that back in 1884. But this was created from the roasted peanuts. In 1895, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg of the famed Kellogg Cereal Company filed to patent a process using raw peanuts to create peanut butter, which was then referred to as nut meal. Then in 1903, a peanut butter making machine was patented by Dr. Ambrose Straub, who in St. Louis, Missouri.
Awesome.
Man, peanut butter's got a big history.
It does. But peanut butter is pretty amazing. How do you feel about peanut butter flavored things?
Here or there. Here or there. I've never been great at mixing foods, and peanut butter is one of them. And peanut butter and jelly is I certainly love that combination. Mm-hmm. But like peanut butter and chocolate, it's hit or miss for me. Reese's gets it right, like most Reese's things I'll eat. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's like very few that I'm in on.
Nutter butter gets it right.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, yeah.
Peanut butter and banana is one of my favorites too.
That's a good one.
I used to just take a banana and a spoon and a jar of peanut butter. And just, scoop out the peanut butter and put it on the banana and take a bite.
One of my best friends growing up, Craig, would take peanut butter and jelly, just peanut butter and jelly, put it in a bowl, mix it up, and eat it.
Yeah, I had a friend like that, too.
Freaked me out. I didn't like it. I don't know. Something about it just weirded me out.
You gotta have the bread.
This is pretty cool. As a side note, I feel like if you were a patent officer back in the day, it feels like with the way we read stories and things, like it was nonstop people coming in and patent this, like Tesla coming in, Edison coming in, you got Carver coming in with a patent, like it just seems like that was the...
And literally coming in, because it wasn't like, they could email them.
Right.
And one of my favorite uses for peanut butter that's a little unconventional is adding it to soup. Yeah, I know. It seems a little strange, but it actually isn't when you think about all of the uses of peanuts and peanut butter in Asian-inspired foods. Mm-hmm. It's actually really delicious in a straight-up like vegetable soup. Just throw in some peanut butter to change up the flavor.
I would try that.
It's really good.
Hmm. It's National Just Do It Day. Celebrated annually since 2015, this is a day that encourages people to get things done. January is the perfect month right at the beginning of the year to reach down to that motivation and get some stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Nothing wrong with that one.
No, and it's good motivation.
And finally, to wrap up, kind of tying into that maybe, Speak Up and Succeed Day. In today's modern world, the idea of speaking up, whether it is it has to do with being a whistleblower, standing up for yourself or others, or simply sharing ideas, it's being more valued.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with being quiet or keeping to yourself. But I think that even for those that live a life like that, you will have moments you will find that you are, whether asked to or feel a calling to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right now it's more important than ever to make our voices heard with our vote.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and vote, because we have the power. But unless we speak up and use that power, we lose it.
Yeah. The power means nothing if we don't use it correctly, if we don't use it at all. These things. And as you correctly said there, Melissa, now more than ever, and I can't imagine there's going to be an election anytime soon, that doesn't take that, doesn't need every one of us to do that.
Yes.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there, everyone. I'm going to get into an interesting one right here, Melissa. Some people might be feeling a little under pressure with their birthdays, maybe being older than they expected. This is one of those things that's obvious once you think about it, obvious and maybe a little depressing. we'll see here. People on TikTok are freaking out after realizing they've been calculating their birthday wrong. You might actually be older than you think. An influencer posted a 5-second video about it last weekend. It's racked up millions of views. It basically boils down to this. When you turn a certain age, you're not actually starting that age, you're finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you just turned 39, it means you've finished your 39th year, and you're currently in your year 40.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's pretty obvious when you think about it, but it's rocking people's worlds. I don't know what angle to take on this one necessarily. I think that there's something almost innocent and kind of fun about that. Because I from what I'm seeing, it's a lot of younger people, like in their early 20s and that. And come on, once you turn 21, between 21 and like 27, 28, like none of those like birthdays stand out more than the other, maybe, or anything like maybe a golden birthday or something. But it's like, I remember my 25th birthday, unless something really different or weird or fun or crazy happened on that day. You know, those days.
Depressing.
Yeah, I mean, if you find out, if you think you're 24 and find out you're actually 20 in your 25th year, it's not, I don't. The rocking it does to your brain is nothing like if you are the 39 and you're actually 40, you know, that kind of thing. I think
it'd probably rock your brain more if you're 7.
Yes, yes. Now, there you go.
Because, that's because you're yeah. so anxious to get to the next year.
I love the idea of sitting there and having watching this like form in a kid's brain as it hits them that they once they realize this.
Well, and then them using it as a manipulation.
Absolutely.
Of, well, you know, my age number is 7, but Mom, actually, I'm in my 8th year.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. Mom, Dad, I know that you said I could have a longer bedtime when I turn double digits. Well, I'm actually 10, so I could stay up later.
This is my 10th year.
I could stay up later. I'm staying up later.
Well, you know, it's when you think about it, when we say, well, it's the 19th century, those are actually the years 1801 to 1900. So that's another application of that similar line of thinking.
I will not lie to the audience. I can be easily confused. It can happen. But this one, it seems very, very self-explanatory to me. I don't want to call anybody out on this one. I think it's a simple mistake to make. But it does seem pretty, you know, on the nose. I mean, it does seem pretty obvious. Mm-hmm.
It's that 0 year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you turn 1, that was your first year all the way through it. And if you think about it, from the beginning of from your birth, it totally makes sense. But when you're 42, you're not thinking about the fact, well, this is my 43rd year on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about situations like with Betty White, where we're you know, everybody was kind of, including herself, we're kind of rooting for her to turn 100, and she unfortunately didn't make it. She made it to 99. But technically, I mean, she lived 100 years.
She's living her 100th year on the planet.
Yeah. I always thought of birthdays as being the kind of wrap up of the last year and the beginning of the new, almost like your own New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been really the age thing or what they're talking about here is kind of like right there in the writing for me in my head.
And, you know, I want to say that there are other cultures that celebrate birthdays differently.
Hmm.
And especially ancient cultures. Where they didn't track your birth, your age, your birth age, the same way that we do now.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if... I can't recall which one it is.
Hmm. It's an interesting subject, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to dive into that one. That may be a rabbit hole. New show idea. New segment idea. Rabbit holes. That's all it is. Just call it rabbit holes. And
you know, it's
just
not a bad way to do it.
You and I just going down a rabbit hole of
I found it. In China, you are born as a 1-year-old.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So on your end of your first year of life, you turn 2.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I prefer one way or the other. To be honest, I don't know. It doesn't really change how old you are. Well, it's just how you count it, really.
Right.
doesn't help you out either way here to those little kids out there who are hoping to get the later bedtime or something like that from this.
Yeah. I don't know. It might be worth trying.
I also would not try this one if you want to get your license early or something like that or any of these things.
Yeah, legally, that's probably not going to change.
Wouldn't take any chances on that one. It is kind of funny. It's kind of an interesting thing. I will say the way that people's minds are blown like
on
that,
TikTok.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. That does seem kind of funny to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of speaks to TikTok and what it is.
Right
in some
on.
Ways.
We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We sure do appreciate the updates. We are going to get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center right after CBS News at the top of the hour. Be listening for that every day, Monday through Friday, in the 8 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get into this one here, Melissa. A year ago this month, the company M&M's tweaked their M&M mascots.
Okay.
And now it's kind of they're changing again. It's amazing that a bunch of computer animated cartoons can cause drama like this. They're doing this. Now, people were complaining that they were sexist, and that was part of the reason that they changed them, specifically the female M&Ms. The green one used to wear knee-high boots and got sneakers instead. The brown M&Ms switched from stilettos to chunker heels to look more professional. Now the company has apparently decided it wasn't enough, or that they took the wrong approach, or maybe they're just tired of society. they tweeted out an announcement, yesterday. That they are going to be suspending them. They are going to be the company has decided it wasn't enough. They're going to take a different approach. They're not using them in commercials for now. They tweeted out in this announcement that they were surprised at how much backlash the new mascots got. Quote, in the last year, we've made some changes to our beloved spoke candies. We weren't sure if anyone would even notice, and we definitely didn't think it would break the internet. But now we get it. Even a candy's shoes can be polarizing. I don't know how to feel about this. They added that they're taking a quote indefinite pause from them, and their new temporary spokesperson Maya Rudolph from SNL. Their tweet doesn't say much more than that, but they also put out a press release that says that they're updating the entire brand this year, and it says that they're working on giving the characters a, quote, fresh, modern look. It also talks about adding different shapes and different sizes to the M&Ms, maybe some different flavors. How long will the mascots be gone? It's hard to say, but some people think the pause might not really be that indefinite. Could this be an elaborate lead up to some Super Bowl planned ad or something like that? I hope so, because neither side is got their hands clean in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You have extremes on both sides of the aisle. The people that can turn anything into a PC moment and get bent out of shape about any single little thing. And you have the people on the other side. I'm just going to say it. I don't like giving this guy mentioning his name, because I don't like giving him any more press than he has already. But Tucker Carlson, who has made a career, finally, even though he couldn't make a career on CNN or Headline News or other Democratic stations, or similar, looked at as Democratic stations, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So when that didn't work, he changed his game up and went to Fox News. He doesn't believe a dang thing he says. He's proven that in his career. He has no journalistic integrity. He has proven that. He's not a journalist. He's proven that. The courts have proven that. He has literally gone to court and proven that he is not a journalist.
Oh, and straight up said, I didn't believe anything I was saying.
He's not man enough or strong enough of a human being to actually take stands. He just goes, well, I'm just saying, but you know, it's a complete fool who has never actually put a good sentence together in his career. But people like that are kind of making careers out of this stuff, of ripping on these things and finding little holes that they can make a divide us more and make something an issue that is not an issue. So then you have stuff like this happen. Now, what I'm hoping is M&M is taking that and flipping it on the script, and they are going to come out with some big Super Bowl ad and push against this. Mm-hmm. Because you can't let either side necessarily, quote unquote, win. I say the same thing on the ultra PC side of things. Look, there is a lot of sexism, racism, anti-Semitism out there, all those things. Mm-hmm. Just give it a minute. You'll have your chance to actually come out on those things. You go looking for a fight, you might not find a real fight. You might make a fight. I'm not saying that to each their own and everything, but there are plenty of things to get bent out of shape about in life. If you're really looking for something, just wait. It'll come about. Trust me. I've been dealing with it since I was 6 years old. I can't imagine how much sexism you've dealt with in your life, Melissa. These moments will come. You don't necessarily have to go looking for it.
Well, and the unfortunate thing is that it is so ingrained in our society. There are people who don't even realize when it's happening.
Yeah.
And to get outraged over what shoes a cartoon character is wearing that's advertising a candy I mean, it seems a little extreme to me.
Yeah.
It's a candy.
It's a candy.
I mean, these are not real people. Now, if you want to take that to, like, we start talking about Barbie dolls and what they look like, I think that has more of an impact on young girls than a green M&M wearing high heels.
It feels a little like trying to, like, taking a subject that actually could lead to something, like you're saying there, and just
exploiting it.
Yes, yes.
For clicks and for views.
Yeah, which is all it is. And anytime he gets those clicks and those views or people are talking about him, he gets exactly what he wants, which is part of why I did not want to bring his foolish name up. But you kind of have to reference the fool, you know, in general.
But honestly,
a lot of fools out there, so I have to be specific about which one I'm talking about.
Right, right. But the fact that we're talking about M&Ms, and I Googled them, and that they've got a few previews out here of the purple M&M, and a new flavor I saw.
Ooh.
Caramel cold brew.
All right. Yeah, we're trying that one.
I am on board.
Hey,
I am gung-ho about this one.
It's been a while since we've done a taste test on the air. I think maybe next Monday, you, Beth, and I, or something like that.
Well, M&Ms have so many flavors now. It's crazy. But you know what? Bring it on.
There's a cookie dough one? I haven't tried that one yet.
That's
really good. It's really good. Because they're really good at this. They're really good at marketing. They're really good at advertising. And speaking of being very good at advertising, our parent company, Civic Media, has their $1 million advertising giveaway going on right now.
We are so excited about this. We're just a couple days away, James.
Yeah. Just barely 2 days and 1 hour and just a couple seconds away.
Seconds. Yes.
So close.
It's the 26th at 9 a.m. You need to go to civicmedia.us/million and just register for this amazing ad giveaway.
Yeah, there are different tiers to this as the money will be given out starting out at 9 a.m. So keep that in mind.
The lowest tier is $5,000.
Yeah, I mean, there's no low tier.
That's a lot of advertising money.
that's really crazy. It goes so far in this business, in this industry. Your buck goes a lot farther in radio, and especially with Civic Media. And we put our money where our mouth is. This is a free promotion. This is where we're trying to help new business, young businesses, old businesses, sophomore
current
business.
Customers, new customers.
Yes.
We want everybody to get in on this. We are so excited to be giving away this advertisement across our amazing network that covers the entire state of Wisconsin.
You can even get a reminder about this on our website. You can log in and sign up for it that way. Be sure to mention that you heard about this on the morning show at WFHR. Help us out with a little bragging rights.
We want your bragging rights.
And get ready for this. We are just a couple days away from Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway. So dang exciting. Go to find out more at civicmedia.us/million, civicmedia.us/million. Take a break, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.